Beloved congregation, 2020 has been called many different names. It's become known as the year of the pandemic, the year of lockdowns, the year of the nurse, the year of turmoil, the year of unrest, the year of heartaches, the year of outrage. It's become known by many different names, and I wonder this evening how many of us remember that the year 2020 is the year of our Lord. That every second of this past year was given to us by God Himself. And that everything that happened in 2020 was ordained and decreed by God, our God. And that everything that happened in 2020 had its God-ordained purpose. We read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And that's not the time that we choose. Not the season that we choose. No, that's God's time. And God's season. And it's all under His perfect providence. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And both those times are God's times. And between being born and dying, you have a list in verses 3 to 8 of all the events in life and in the experiences of individuals and families and churches and societies. And it is all ordained by God. It's all in God's perfect time. And that might raise a question for us. We might say, well, if it's all God's time, and God's decree, and God's ordaining, then why work? Why labor? We can't change anything. We can't change God's time. Solomon asked that question too in verse 9. What profit does he have who works in that wherein he labors? And he answers in verse 11. God has made everything beautiful in His time. And we look at that. We look at that list and we see life and death, beautiful. Breakdowns, beautiful. Weeping, beautiful. And yet it says God made everything beautiful. When God had finished creating, in the book of Genesis, He said, it is very good. We could say it is beautiful. Well, what then? What must we do then? Well, if we use all of God's gifts properly and not abuse them, and we realize that there's no enduring good in earthly matters except to rejoice and to do good and to eat and to drink and enjoy the fruit of our labors, these are all the gifts of God. Do we see them all as gifts of God? Do we see them by His grace all working together for our eternal good? Solomon, with his God-given wisdom, knows the secret of all this. He says, I know. I know how to make sense of this. And he acknowledges God's doing in everything. So with the eye of faith, may we see God's hand in all things that happened in 2020. That we may come to the same conclusion that Solomon did in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. And the first time I ever heard a sermon on this text was back in July of 1977. When four teenagers from the NRC in Chilliwack were murdered. And the old Reverend A.W. Verhoef preached a funeral sermon on this text. And it made no sense to me at all then. It does make sense now by the grace of God. Here's the words of our text. God's word. I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Our theme this evening is everything God did in 2020 is first of all complete, secondly enduring, thirdly perfect, and fourthly purposeful. First then, everything God did in 2020 is complete. Solomon says, I know that everything which God does, and what he means to say is God does all things. Nothing happens without God's decree. God says, my counsel shall stand. Psalm 33, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 4, the church is praying, and they say, O Lord, the enemies of God are gathered against Jesus to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They recognize that all of that was God's counsel and God's hand. In verses 2 to 8 in our chapter here, you see all those things that God does in His complete providence. And we confess in Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27, God, as it were by His hand, upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures so that all things come not by chance but by His fatherly hand. All creatures. That means all human beings too. Including all government leaders. All events. All circumstances are governed by God's hand. God's doings are all inclusive. Prosperity comes from God's hand. Adversity comes from God's hand. Bad things, in our opinion at least, like COVID, come from God's hand. In our own lives, we see it. In our family lives, we see it. In congregational life, denominational life, societal life, national life. We see it in our own family circles. Think about the families of our congregation. Here a new baby is born, and there is the death of a loved one. Both came from God's hand. We see it in church life. Souls are saved by the preaching of the gospel, and there are many struggles. God's hand is in it. We see it in our nation. Many businesses right now closed and facing bankruptcy, and other businesses prospering. We see it on the one hand, the government relaxing euthanasia laws and on the other hand, doing everything to save lives now. You see how counseling those who are struggling with gender identity is being criminalized. In one hospital wing, babies are being murdered. And in another wing of that same hospital, preemies are being saved. And we say, where is God in that? Well, God governs this. Everything God does, it is complete. God's hand is in it, either as a blessing hand or a cursing hand and a punishing hand. Everything God does is complete. We see that especially in the revelation of the Word of God. Whatever God does is complete. He gave a complete Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a completely perfect life, who shed His blood, who said, "It is finished. It is completed." He died on the cross. He's buried. He rose again. He ascended. It's all God's doings. And in the year 2020, God sent faithful preachers to preach this word. And He gave His Holy Spirit to apply this word. And He made distinctions wherein there is no distinction by nature. He reveals afresh to us too His sovereign election. And that gives growth in grace. He makes us to know again, God's sovereignty and our responsibility. And for believers and for unbelievers, that doctrine brings different reactions. For believers, it is a great comfort because we recognize if there were no election, there would be no salvation. God does it all. In the life of grace and in our daily lives. And unbelievers do not want to submit to this because we want to control our own lives. We want to do it all. And yet because God's hand is in all things, His work is complete, needs nothing. Well, everything God did in 2020 is complete, but everything God did in 2020 is also enduring. Solomon says, whatever God does shall be forever. Now, we realize that we are human beings with limitations, but for God there is no time. He has been forever. He is forever. He shall be forever. His decree has been, His decree is being worked out now. It shall be, enduring eternally. God will not change His mind. God's eternal, unchanging decree determines what God does. We human beings are constantly changing. Through all of 2020, we saw this. Verses 2 to 8, from our point of view, that's just constant change. All year long, there were people being born and people dying. There were people planting and people plucking. There were people killing and people healing. People breaking. People building. People weeping. People laughing. People getting. People were losing. People were keeping. People were casting away. And then it says, and it's all beautiful in God's time. It shall be forever. The moment of our birth, the moment of our death, determined forever. Sometimes we say, oh, that person lived a long life, or that person lived a short life. But that's only in our estimation. In the eyes of the Lord, you will live a full life because you are born and you die at God's appointed time. And whatever God does, whatever happens, it shall be forever. And we can't fathom this because, as verse 11 says, He has placed the world in our hearts. And so when we read whatever God does, it shall be forever. We try to grasp that. How am I to make sense of that? But we can see it clearly, can't we? In the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, in all of that redemptive history, we can see that salvation of souls is decreed in eternity past. It's worked out in the present time. And it's completed in eternity future. And it's all centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He shall come again. And He shall reign forever and ever. Whatever God does shall be complete, enduring, and thirdly, perfect. Solomon says, I know whatever God does shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. There's nothing that can cause that everything that God does to increase. And nothing can be taken away from everything God does. Our human nature always wants to add something to what God does and gives. Think of how many times we grumbled in this past year. There's not enough sun. And then there was not enough rain. Then it was too hot. Then it was too cold. When it was cloudy, we wanted the clouds to go away. When we had 3 weeks of sunshine, we wouldn't be happy unless we had a fourth week. Think how many times we grumbled about the freedoms we had lost. We were not satisfied. We wanted to increase. That was our heart's desire. But so often we forgot that it all came from God's hand. That this is from God. The same in our finances. How many of us are really satisfied with our bank balance? How many families would want to add more prosperity to our lives and take away adversity? There are many devices in a man's heart, the same Solomon writes. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Nothing can be added to it. You can't add a single drop of rain. You can't take away a single cloud. Without God's providing it, you cannot add a single dollar to the ones God gives you. On your own, you can't remove a single problem out of your family. Without God's blessing, no kind of medicine or surgery will help you. But because God does it all, it shall be forever. And we cannot change God's decree. And dear believer, thinking back now, about what God gave to us in our own lives, our personal lives, in our family lives, in our church life, came to us according to God's decree. Would you want to change God's decree? Think about that. In Acts 5, verse 39, there's a very wise man, Gamaliel, and he's speaking about the apostles preaching the word of God. And people want to stop them. And he says, but if it be of God, you can't overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Shall we be very careful not to be fighting against God? It's the same in spiritual life, isn't it? You cannot add anything to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. You cannot take away from what He has done. If we could add to it, we would really be taking away from it. When Jesus said, it is finished, He meant it. It's accomplished. It's perfect. My work is perfect. The Father had given him his sheep. Not a single one can be added. And not a single one can be taken away. And if it were up to us, were left up to us, we would certainly add ourselves quickly, and we might even take away the wrong one. No, everything God did in 2020 is perfect. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And everything God did in 2020 is purposeful. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Well, if that's all true, then we ask why? Why cancer? Why COVID? Why lockdowns? Why? What's the reason for this? And what's the purpose? Is it for God's benefit? Or for man's benefit? You notice that God rarely tells us the reasons for his doing things. But we know that God always has a purpose for everything he does. And here he makes it known to us what that purpose is. So that men should fear before him. That's God's purpose. The fear of God. Everything God does, he does for this purpose. Psalm 64, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. And God does it, says Solomon, in order that men should fear before him. Meaning before his face, meaning in his presence. God's purpose in everything he does is not so that we become stoic and fatalist or hopelessly pessimistic. He doesn't do it for the purpose of that we would become careless and say, well, it doesn't make any difference anyway. And not so that we would be crippled with despair. But that men and women and boys and girls should fear before him. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Revelation 15. So that is the purpose for everything God did in 2020. That we should all fear before the Lord. And what is that then? What is the fear of the Lord? Well, it depends. If you're an unbeliever listening to this, then the fear of God is to fear the judgment of God against sin. To fear his infinite wrath and to fear eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. Listen to the very words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast you into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. That's what Jesus said. Hebrews 10, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we're speaking here of the fear and the fright and the horror of unbelievers. But that's not what the picture here is. The picture for the believer, the fear of God is something much different. In a believer's life, the fear of the Lord is his reverence and his awe of God. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And this reverence and this awe is what the fear of God means for Christians. This is what it is that motivates us to live out of love to Him, to His honor, out of gratitude to our Savior. The fear of the Lord, writes Solomon, is the beginning of knowledge. And until we begin to understand a little bit who God is in Christ and develop this reverential fear of Him, we do not and we cannot have true knowledge and wisdom. Because only then will we see that the Lord is holy and just and righteous and majestic. In Deuteronomy 10 verse 12, "Now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Oh, beloved, the fear of the Lord is a gift from God, earned by Christ on the cross. And it is the basis for our walking in His ways, the basis of our serving Him and our loving Him because He first loved us. We have to be careful that we don't minimize the fear of God for believers to simply respecting God. Yes, respecting is definitely included in that concept, but there's more to it than that. The biblical fear of God includes understanding how much God hates sin and fearing His judgment on sin, even in the life of a believer. In Hebrews 12, you have a description of God's discipline of the believer. It's called chastisement. And it's done in love, but it's still a fearful thing. Adults, you remember that as children, the fear of discipline from our parents prevented some sinful deeds. And the same should be true in our relationship with God. We should fear His discipline and His chastisement. And therefore, out of love for Christ, seek to live our lives in such a way that pleases Him by His grace. No, believers are not scared of God. We've no reason to be afraid of Him. We have His promise. Nothing shall separate us from His love. We have His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Fearing God means having such a reverence for Him that it has a great impact on the way we live our lives. The fear of God is seeing Him with reverence, submitting to His chastisements and worshiping Him in awe of who He is and what He does and how He has revealed Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see everything God did in 2020 is complete and enduring, perfect, and purposeful. I want to draw this now to a close with some practical reflections, looking back and looking ahead. But first we'll sing. What can we take away from Solomon's wisdom here and inspired by the Holy Spirit? Well, believers in this world of constant changes, we look forward, don't we? And we look ahead to the place and the time of no more changes. Here there's that time to be born and that time to die and plucking up and breaking down and weeping and mourning and hatred and wars and experiencing the curse of the fall and sin. But there is the tree of life, which will never be plucked up. There, in the land of victory, There's a triumph in Christ and the abode of joy, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away, and all shall trust, and there will never be any more jealousy, it will be overcome forever. All shall be of one heart and of one soul. And unbelievers, are you still seeking your happiness amongst all these changing uncertainties? Do you ask like the psalmist, who will show us any good? Are you looking for fulfillment in your wife or in your children or in your possessions? Are you still dreaming of making it big? Do you realize how miserably disappointed you will be when that dream pops like a child's bubble? Oh, give up those foolish expectations from things that the Bible says perish in the using. True fulfillment is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Nothing here can give it. Oh, you should seek your fulfillment and your happiness in the only place where it is to be found. That is in the favor of the unchanging God and the hope of an unchanging heaven. Fulfillment and happiness is to be found only in the way of repentance and faith. And in gospel joy, only in the way of fearing the Lord your God, of that life and incorruption which are brought to light by the gospel. That's it. And while we're living in this world, we should expect our circumstances to change very often. And when we live with that expectation, that will prevent us from getting all bent out of shape and overcome and unhinged when changes come. So in times of prosperity, be ready for adversity. It's coming. In times of health, prepare for sickness. It's coming. In life, prepare for death. It's coming. In a time to get, prepare for a time to lose. And be satisfied with the providence of God. With the steadfast assurance that God's ways are always ways of wisdom and faithfulness and love. While in this world, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Oh, let us then live having faith in this God, even when we can't see any beauty in His providence. Against all hope, believing in hope that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And His purpose is to conform His people more and more into the image of His Son. And that's true for every believer. And now we hear the final Gospel proclamation of 2020 from here, from this pulpit, in this way, with a camera and a sermon audio. That too will change. But the way of salvation doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. He stands forever. From eternity, God's purpose has been and still is to save sinners by the mediator, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot add or take away from that. Nobody can. You can't add or take away from God's way of saving sinners. That way is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. And there's no other ground for blessings. There's no other way of saving sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sure foundation, the only foundation. And He can never be overthrown. Some freedoms can be taken away, but the freedom of Christ's people in Christ can never be taken away. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. There's nothing to add there. And nothing to be taken away. And when we are in our right place with the Lord God this evening, we don't want to change His providence, do we? Would you want to add anything? Or take away anything that God did this year? Not only in our natural lives, nor in our spiritual lives. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. And for believers, what God does is show us the way of life after receiving grace in Christ alone. And that is the way of obedience out of love. You are now set free from the dominion of sin and Satan. You've been set free to serve the Lord and your Savior, Christ Jesus, in humility. You've been set free to serve Him with reverence and godly fear. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself has set you free. The truth has set you free. Free to what you are now able to do, and that is to obey out of love. Think with me a moment how many times in the past year we have heard the gospel. In this church alone, at least 104 sermons on Sundays. And then there were weekday sermons. But if we just take those 104, that means we spent at least 156 hours in the worship services. And for every moment of all those worship services of 2020, our text is true too. So let us pray fervently for grace to repeat with Solomon, with all certainty, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it so that men and women and boys and girls should fear before Him. And if we are not fearing the Lord this evening, as the result of all that He has done in 2020, then let us fall on our faces before Him and say, O Lord God, work this purpose for all that You have done in my heart and in my life too. Do it even now, Lord. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God, Gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we know that thy word is true. We don't always grasp it. Sometimes we don't really want to grasp it because it goes so contrary to our natural way of thinking. But Lord, we know that thy counsel shall stand. Thy decree is fixed. Thy providence is all good. Nothing happens by chance, but all things come from your fatherly hand. And Lord, we pray that we may receive all things from that fatherly hand as we confess to do. Lord, bless us further in the final hours of this year, that we may reflect, O Lord, on all that you have done and on the way we have reacted to it. That we may reflect, Lord, on whether it has brought us the fear of the Lord, to trusting in the Lord alone. Lord, please bless thy word tonight. Bring it home to our hearts through the mighty working of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, bring us safely, we pray, to our homes, those who are here. Be with all those who are in their own homes already. Oh, Lord, we pray for a quiet evening and a good night's rest, so that we may awake refreshed and worship again in the morning. And Lord, though it is under circumstances that we don't choose, we do pray, Lord, for thy blessing on the worship, on the preaching of the holy word of God. Enable us, O Lord, in all things to glorify thy great and awesome name. Keep us from sin and forgive our sins, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.